Thank you everyone for coming here today. And as you can see, the title of my talk has changed a little bit. So it's now titled Examining the Association of Abortion History and Current Mental Health, a reanalysis of the National Comorbidity Survey using a common risk factors model. And this talk is based on a paper that is in press currently at Social Science and Medicine. And I promise you that as Andre said, I will challenge some results that are out there on abortion and mental health, so I still will be combative. And so I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so to put this paper in context, I thought I'd start very briefly by talking about just abortion and mental health research in the United States. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the conceptual frameworks that are used for understanding the relationship of abortion and mental health. Then I will present the paper, which I'm here to present, which has two aims. The first is to conduct a reanalysis of a study which was conducted by Coleman and colleagues and published in 2009 in the Journal of Psychiatric Research. And the second was the second purpose of this paper was to conduct a new, more appropriate analysis using the same data, the National Comorbidity Survey. Okay, so to set the context, there currently exists a debate in the literature on whether abortion harms women's mental health. So on the one hand, there are some studies that claim that abortion leads to mental health problems. In these studies, they usually what they do is they find a statistical association, and from this statistical association, they infer causation. On the other hand, other studies do not find evidence that abortion harms women's mental health, and I really think of these as falling into one of two camps. So either they find no statistical association and therefore causation is not inferred, or if a statistical association is found, methodological limitations or shortcomings render this statistical association questionable. So paralleling this scientific debate, there are state policies based on the notion that abortion harms women's mental health. So currently, there are seven states that require that women be told in advance of only the negative psychological effects of having an abortion. There are another 13 that tell women about potentially positive and negative effects, but there are seven which require women be told only of the negative psychological effects of having an abortion. And in an April 2007, in the Gonzalez versus Carhart decision, to uphold, which was a Supreme Court decision to uphold a ban on a later abortion procedure, Justice Kennedy, in his opinion, says, it seems unexceptional to conclude some women come to regret their choice to abort, severe depression and loss of esteem can follow. So here we see that the notion that abortion harms women's mental health is really getting used both in policy and in the legal system. So now that we have a little background of the context of abortion and mental research and context of abortion and mental health research in the US, I'm going to discuss very briefly the conceptual frameworks used for understanding this relationship. And I'm really going to be focusing on the latter two, the traumatic experience and the common risk factor approach, as I will show throughout. But I wanted to mention the stress and coping perspective because this perspective has been used in abortion and mental health research. The traumatic experience perspective is really mutually exclusive of the stress and coping perspective and the common risk factors approach. And the stress and coping perspective and the common risk factors approach are not mutually exclusive of one another. So the paper that I'm going to be talking about really, as I'll show you in a little while, pits the traumatic experience framework and the common risk factors approach against one another and examines whether there is more evidence for one or the other. So what is the traumatic experience? Well, the claim that abortion is a traumatic experience that necessarily leads to mental health problems really took hold in 1981 with Roux's introduction of the term post-abortion syndrome. And he formed this idea from 30 qualitative interviews with women who were specifically recruited because they deemed an abortion to be a highly stressful experience. Now, in the past 10 years, there has been much more quantitative research claiming to find evidence that abortion causes poor mental health. And what this work does is it usually compares women who abort to another group of women and finds that mental health problems are at a higher incidence in women who abort than this other group of women. Now, the methodology of these quantitative studies that find that abortion is associated with mental health problems has been critiqued. So there have been several recent reviews that have argued that the work claiming that abortion causes mental health problems has methodological shortcomings that render this conclusion invalid. And just to give you one really quick example, some of the studies that have been published have not even ascertained whether or not the mental health outcome actually occurred before or after the abortion. So the common risk factors approach argues that there are common risk factors that are associated with having abortions and with having mental health problems. And so two such factors include being from an economically disadvantaged background and having violence in one's life. So therefore, when examining how abortion versus other pregnancy outcomes relate to subsequent mental health, we really need to consider common risk factors that are associated with both having abortions and having mental health problems. And moreover, because prior mental health is a strong predictor of subsequent mental health, it's really important to control for prior mental health. So based on the premise that there are common risk factors for abortion and mental health, we may actually expect a significant relationship between abortion and subsequent mental health when other factors are not included in the models, so when we don't adjust for anything. So that is when we compare the post-pregnancy mental health of women who abort to another group of women, such as women who deliver a pregnancy, we may actually expect a significant relationship because there are common risk factors that are leading women to have abortions and leading women to have mental health problems. And so this drawing is really meant to illustrate that similar factors that are associated with having an abortion, such as lower socioeconomic status, stressful life circumstances, and emotional or behavioral problems, are also associated with mental health problems. Therefore, in separate analyses, we would expect significant associations between the risk factors and abortion history, or between the risk factors and subsequent mental health. So now I'm going to show, using some published studies, So now I'm going to show what we would expect if we include post-pregnancy mental health together with the risk factors in a model and look at the relationship of abortion to subsequent mental health. So we would actually expect that some of the risk factors would be significant predictors of subsequent mental health, but the pregnancy outcome, abortion versus other pregnancy outcomes, would actually not be a significant predictor, or it would at least be significantly reduced from the unadjusted model. So now to the specific paper that I'm here to talk about. The first part was a reanalysis of the Coleman et al., 2009, who concluded using the National Comorbidity Survey that abortion was a cause of 12 different mental health disorders. Now, they looked at 15 mental health disorders, but they only concluded that it was a cause of 12. So we did this because their findings, so we did this for two reasons. We did this because, one, their findings were inconsistent with several other published studies that have been used, using the National Comorbidity Survey. And I'm not talking about any work that I've conducted, but I'm talking about other work that has been conducted using the National Comorbidity Survey. And another reason that we did this was because this similar group of authors has been previously found and their results have not been replicable. So we had two reasons for doing this. So the National Comorbidity Survey was collected between 1990 and 1992, and it was the first nationally representative mental health survey in the U.S. to use fully structured psychiatric interviews to assess the prevalence and correlates of mental disorders among men and women, and it did also happen to assess some pregnancy events for women. So the psychiatric diagnoses reported here are based on the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the third edition revised. And the data were collected at one point in time, so everything is measured retrospectively, except for the outcome here, which is current mental health. So what we do in this first part is we do an exact replication of the analysis of Coleman and colleagues. We start with basic crosstabs looking at the prevalence of current mental health by abortion history for the 15 different mental health outcomes that they looked at. So what I'm about to present are the unadjusted percentages of women who have a mental health diagnosis by whether or not they have ever had an abortion. And so I'm going to present a table that compares my findings to their findings. So basically, we found that their findings were not replicable. Moreover, their findings were really vastly different from what we found. So for instance, Coleman and colleagues found that among women who had an abortion, 40.7% of women had depression at the time of interview, whereas we found that among women who had an abortion, 8.3% of women had depression at the time of interview. So they found over 4.9 times as many women who had an abortion had depression compared to our findings. And so this is using the same data, the same sample size, the same codes, the same everything. And we found similar, even larger discrepancies for the other 14 outcomes examined by Coleman and colleagues. And I just present two others here for post-traumatic stress disorder and alcohol dependence. And we did not try to replicate their other findings where they actually controlled for other factors in their analysis for two reasons. One, they appeared to use categorical variables such as marital status or race or religion as continuous variables. the other reason was that their results were really inconsistent with the other published literature using the National Comorbidity Survey. So instead, we conducted analysis that we thought were appropriate for testing whether there was support for the common risk factors approach or the traumatic experience one. So these are the analysis that we thought were more appropriate to conduct to test the evidence for whether the data support which of these competing models. And just to refresh a little bit about this, in testing the different frameworks here are the expected results if the frameworks were supported. So if the traumatic experience was supported, right, we would expect that both in adjusted and unadjusted models, there would be a significant relationship between abortion and mental health. In the common risk factors framework, in contrast, we would expect a significant relationship in the unadjusted model, but when we adjust for common risk factors, we would expect the relationship of abortion to mental health to go away, or at least it would be significantly reduced. So again, we use the National Comorbidity Survey, and we use the outcomes of, instead of using the 15 different mental health outcomes that they used, we classified the mental health into three different categories: any mood disorder at the time of interview, any anxiety disorder at the time of interview, or any substance use disorder at the time of interview. And we grouped ever-pregnant women into one of three categories, having had no abortions, having had one abortion, or having had multiple abortions. And so analysis included looking at the relationship of abortion and mental health in unadjusted models. We also adjusted for prior risk factors. And then in a third set of analysis, we adjusted for prior and co-occurring risk factors. So now I'm going to show you the relationship between abortion and current mental health without adjusting for any risk factors. So here we see the percent of women with each type of mental health disorder by abortion history. So no differences were found for mood disorders. For anxiety disorders, women who had multiple abortions had a higher prevalence of an anxiety disorder compared to women who had one or no abortions. And for substance use disorders, women who had multiple abortions had a higher prevalence of substance use disorders compared to women who had no abortions. Okay, now I'm going to show you how some risk factors relate to having the abortion history, so having zero, one, or multiple abortions. And so this shows the relationship of prior mental health to abortion history. So this is mental health occurring before the first abortion if you were in the abortion group, or before the first pregnancy if you were in the no abortion group. So for mood disorders, we see that women who had one or more abortions had histories of mood disorders, of higher prevalence of mood disorders than women who had no abortions. For anxiety disorders, we see that women who had two or more, so multiple abortions, had histories with a higher prevalence of anxiety disorders compared to women who had one or no abortions. And for substance use disorders, we see that women who had one abortion were more likely to have a history of substance use disorders than women who had no abortions. And so this shows the percent of prior violence experienced by abortion history. So women who had multiple or one abortion were more likely to have had prior sexual violence. And for physical violence, women who had multiple abortions were more likely to have had prior physical violence than women who had no abortions. And so now I'm going to show how some of the risk factors are associated with these same risk factors are associated with current mental health, and the current mental health variable that I've decided just to focus on, instead of showing you any anxiety disorder, any mood disorder, or any substance use disorder, I'm going to focus on the mood disorder. So this shows the relationship of prior mental health to current mood disorder. So we see that for mood disorders, we see that women who had one or more abortions had histories of more mood disorders than We see that women who had mood disorders at the time of interview were more likely to have histories of mood disorders. They were more likely to have histories of anxiety disorders, and they were more likely to have histories of substance use disorders than women who did not have a mood disorder at the time of interview. And similarly, women who had mood disorders at the time of interview were more likely to have histories of sexual violence and more likely to have histories of physical violence than women who did not have a mood disorder at the time of interview. And so now I'm going to show you what happens to the relationship of abortion and mental health when we, in unadjusted models and in adjusted models. So in the unadjusted models, very quickly, we see that, so this is unadjusted models, we see that there is a relationship of abortion history by anxiety disorders and abortion history by substance use disorders, but no relationship between abortion history and mood disorders. And this is unadjusted. In the adjusted model, when we adjust for prior risk factors, so this is prior sexual violence and prior physical violence, as well as prior mental health problems, we see that the relationship of abortion history to anxiety disorders, it goes away. But we do see that there remains a relationship between abortion history and substance use disorders when we control for prior. And when we control for prior and co-occurring risk factors, we see that the only significant relationship to remain is between multiple versus no abortions and substance use disorders. However, this has been reduced. Before it was 5.2, and this is now currently, the odds ratio is now 3.7. And so this just shows the fully adjusted model. And the few things that I want to point out are we see that pre-pregnancy mental health is really a strong predictor of current mental health. And as well, we see that women who had multiple miscarriages actually, compared to women who had no miscarriages, were more likely to have mental health problems at the time of interview. And so I think in conclusion, future research should really scrutinize work claiming to find that abortion causes mental health problems. We saw that some results were not, the results were not replicable. Policies based on the notion that abortion harms women's mental health, they do appear to be misguided. And researchers and efforts to really focus on the violence and the mental health histories that are more prevalent among women who are having abortions. And thank you. I have one more slide. I do have one more slide, but I won't do it for you. It's okay. What? Oh, I was just going to say the final thing was just that there's in testing the competing models of the common risk factors approach or the traumatic experience, we found support for the common risk factors approach.